I recently learned about a psychological phenomenon about self-confidence and how that compares to actual competence. It's called the Dunning-Kruger effect, and it was termed right around the year 1999. In that year, at Cornell University, some psychological studies were carried out, and of course, as anybody who's taken a psychology course knows, most psychological experiments involve students. This was no different. This study was conducted to compare students' belief of their ability to get good grades in class and compare that with the actual grades that they got. Students were asked to predict how well they would do compared to their peers in the course of getting their grades for tests and in the class. The question at the center of the study asked if people who got poor grades knew that they were going to get poor grades. And likewise, the study asked the question of do people who believe that they are going to get good grades actually get them? The results were pretty interesting. It turns out that the students who actually performed the worst had the highest confidence that they would do the best. And those who had actually done very well, who had studied to get good grades and really put in a lot of effort, who had the skill and knowledge to do well, they tended to underestimate their performance. And they actually performed better than many of their peers. And they performed better than they themselves thought they would. Now, why is that true? This is a phenomenon that has been repeated outside of the classroom as well. And I think it might be something that we all might have observed in our own lives. Well, this happens because, according to the study, the skills and knowledge that you need in order to perform well are exactly the same skills and knowledge that you need to recognize what it takes to perform well. So if you don't know what it takes to do well, you are more likely to believe that you will do well performing at something. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I find this to be a little bit alarming. It's caused me to think twice since I've learned about this phenomenon every time I feel confident about something. Am I really going to do well in, you know, my job or how I do things? Or am I just ignorant of the fact that I'm oblivious to what it takes to perform well? And this principle especially applies to our Christian lives. Christianity in general involves working to overcome sin, to adopt righteous behavior, and learn to be obedient to God and what He commands. It's a pretty important thing, then, to be sure of ourselves when we turn away from sin and to confidently do what's right. We really, really, really want to be confident in our actions. But just because we think we're right, it doesn't make our actions right. According to this study that I've cited, if we are sure of ourselves and our righteousness, we should probably have some alarms going off in our lives to make sure that we are. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 10 and read verses 6 through 12. And this is the set of verses that I pulled the title from. 1 Corinthians 10, and beginning in verse 6. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We have a tremendous amount of stories in the Bible about people who have tried to live righteously and failed. Several of those examples are cited here in 1 Corinthians 10. They are written for our example. The people who became idolaters didn't think that what they were doing were wrong. They thought they were doing okay. They thought that they were doing what was right. Yet there was a consequence, as we know. All of those examples that we've read were examples of sin, but not only that, they're examples of people who were oblivious to their sin. And what follows after that? All of these people thought that they stood up, and they are provided for us as a warning because they fell. It's a warning for us. When we think we stand, when we think we're right, it's our warning to beware because we might fall. Now, why would we fall? We would fall only if we're actually sinning, right? I'll give you another proverb. This one is Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. We didn't need to wait until 1999 to know that confidence is not proportionate to competence. In this proverb by Solomon, we have a record. We have already recorded the observation that when someone is wise, well, fools are wise in their own eyes, even though they are oblivious. There are two classes of people mentioned. The foolish, who don't know that they are doing what was wrong, yet they think that what they're doing is right. We don't want to fall into that class. The other class of people are those who look to an outside source, those who seek counsel, those who do not rely on their own wisdom. Those people are wise. So where does our counsel come from? Where does it need to come from? I think we all know the answer. It comes from God, primarily, and through God, His Word, recorded in the Bible. It comes from the ministry, and our counsel comes from our brethren. If we want to do what is right, we need to seek counsel, and that comes from God. We need to look to Him for direction. Let's go over to Romans 1, and read verses 20 through 22. Seems like we've been going here more often lately. Romans 1 and verse 20, we read this. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. When we fail to look to God for guidance, when we fail to glorify God, we choose to do something else implicitly. What is that? We expose ourselves to foolishness. We become a fool by not looking at God. And when we do that, it has an effect of further clouding our understanding of the truth. We are doomed to be wrong when we turn away from God. We look away from the truth when we look away from God. And when that happens, we are doomed to fail and be oblivious to the fact that we are failing. The ones who fail to follow God become self-deceived. They claim to be wise, but are actually fools. Think of the insolence, the vitriolic insolence of atheists. How loudly we hear the declarations of alleged ignorance of Christians. We hear a lot in secular society about how stupid, quote-unquote stupid, it is to believe in creation. How stupid it is to follow the words of the Bible. The people who declare the alleged stupidity, what are they doing? First of all, they reject God. They are claiming to be wise. When what does the Bible say about people who do such things? They are fools. As we read in the proverb, the fool claims to be right, but is absolutely wrong. And I won't go there, but we are familiar with the diagnosis of the Laodiceans in Revelation. What does it say about the Laodiceans? It says that they believe they are rich. It says that they believe they are wise. That they believe they have need of nothing. They are self-deceived, thinking that they are doing okay. I'm doing just fine. And what happens when we think we stand? We better take heed, lest we fall. So that's the diagnosis of the Laodiceans. What is the prescription then? They are urged to seek God. They are urged to have their eyes opened to the truth, to learn about righteous behavior, and to do it. They have to take action to make some change, to seek the truth. Now, what can we do in our lives if we are following the words of the Bible, where we are to take warning, take heed, when we think we stand, when we believe we're on the right path? What can we do to overcome this potential ignorance that we might be exposing? Now, the study that I mentioned before had another finding. And one of the observations was this, is that people recognize and acknowledge their own lack of skill. They become self-aware that they are wrong only after they are exposed to training for that skill. We need to train ourselves in the truth. And it begins with a love of the truth. Remember that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. I read another proverb to you. This is Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. We have to go to God in order to build our understanding. We have to trust in His truth, in what He believes is right. Our own understanding cannot hold us up. We will fall if we try to support ourselves, if we don't rely on something else, and that is the truth of God. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2, and we'll read verses 9 through 12. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. That's where it begins. It has to begin with the love of the truth. Continuing in verse 11, and for this reason God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What kind of people do you think this set of scriptures describes? It describes the self-confident and oblivious, the people who don't see it coming. What is the strongest weapon against self-deception? It's the truth. It's the love of the truth that we can put into our hearts. That's where we need to begin. If we understand the truth of God, that gives us an opportunity to compare our own actions to what objectively God declares as being right. Among the threats that a Christian faces, self-deception is the most daunting. When we believe that we're right, it naturally puts us in a state of complacence, a false sense of security. But that is exactly the opposite effect that it should have. If we want to become more righteous in our behavior, we must follow a source of truth that is outside of our own head. If we don't, we are doomed to become among the fools who so miserably fail that they can't even see it coming. If we want to succeed, we must seek the truth and never stop.